Hello, welcome to Symphony. Thank you for joining our worship, especially those of you who are new to our church. I'm Pastor Barry, lead pastor of Symphony Church. It is a delight to be worshiping with you today. You know, 2020 just keeps on giving, doesn't it? The good news is that it's almost over. The bad news is that there's a great deal of uncertainty about what 2021 will bring. But the really good news is that no matter the circumstances, our God reigns. Jesus told us that in this life we would face trials and persecutions. He never promised that it would be easy or costless. Far from it. But we have a living hope. The kingdom is coming. Redemption is coming. God is moving. You know, one of the ways this pandemic has impacted us is that the necessary physical distancing measures that we've enacted to protect our society's physical health have also led us to becoming socially distanced from one another, which is actually bad for our emotional, mental, and spiritual health. But that doesn't need to be the case. The challenge for us is to express love for our neighbor by physically distancing from them, while also finding ways to express love for our neighbor by not socially distancing from them. In fact, doing the opposite, i.e. closing the social distances between us. And I hope you see the distinction that I'm making between social and physical distancing. One of the ways that we've been trying to walk this tension as a church is to think of different ways that we can congregate for the purpose of worship and mission and encouragement in as safe a way as possible. The first way that many churches adapted was to move their services online, which is obviously what we've done as well. The beauty of the virtual service is that we are able to congregate even while we're physically separated by great distances. And our Symphony family now extends to around the world and across the United States. And we're going to keep exploring ways to make our virtual congregation as vibrant and life-giving and mission-focused as possible, even as we worship together through these digital means. And to that end, I am pleased to announce to all of you that Pastor Chan Park will be our virtual congregation pastor moving forward. So please keep him and one another in your prayers. At the same time, we've been exploring new ways of worshiping together that we're calling micro-churches or micro-congregations. The larger the group, the higher the risk of transmission within the group because there's a higher risk that someone in the group may have the virus. So we've looked for ways to have small gatherings, micro-gatherings. Our micro-congregations will be small, hence the word micro, gatherings of 6 to 8 people socially contracting in a way with one another to keep each other's physical, mental, spiritual health in mind. That means if those of you who are going to be in a micro-congregation, if you feel sick, you let your micro-church know and you don't show up. That means you seek to limit your physical involvement as much as possible with outside groups, except when you agree together as a group. That means also you wear your masks and you keep at least 6 feet apart if possible. That means as long as the weather is okay, you worship outdoors. That means that when you're indoors, you might actually also open the windows to let the air circulate. And anticipating that, you come dressed warmly. That means that you encourage one another to keep seeking after Jesus and his hope. This means that you keep the Jesus mission in front of you. And I'm thrilled to let you know that in the next 2 weeks, we're anticipating 33 micro-congregations worshiping around Boston. By the way, if you're outside of Boston and want to start a micro-congregation where you are, just let us know, and we'll do our best to equip and support you. If you would like to join a micro-congregation, please register through the connection card, and one of our staff will reach out to you. I already announced that Pastor Chan will be our virtual congregation pastor. Well, Pastor Doug Tritton and Pastor Michael Oh will be our micro-congregation pastors. Pastor Doug will focus on young adults, and Pastor Mike will focus on college students. And so please keep the two of those in prayer. Now, micro-churches are exciting in concept, but then you get signed to one, and then you might realize you don't really know the people in your micro-church, or perhaps you'll find there are, to use a phrase that John Ortberg coined, extra grace required people there. And that's going to be uncomfortable and perhaps even challenging. But remember, growth doesn't happen in perfectly sterile, comfortable environments. Growth happens in the presence of discomfort and challenge and stretching. And this is your opportunity to practice biblical hospitality, that is, love for the stranger, and practice giving grace to people, knowing that you were also saved by grace. My hope is that you will feel like your micro-congregation is a place where you can be accepted and loved, but also stretched. Honestly, as your pastor, I don't want you to be too comfortable. I want you to be with a group of people who are earnestly endeavoring to love their neighbors through all the particular challenges of these times. Now, you may be wondering about Pastor Sean John. Well, he's going to be serving as our family group's pastor and also as my second in command, if you will. So as I talked about microcongregations, I know that some of you are not going to be or unable to participate, maybe feeling some FOMO, fear of missing out, perhaps even some resentment that you're not going to be able to participate. Now, I totally understand those feelings, but I do encourage you to throw your energy into loving and serving together with those who will be participating in the virtual congregation and in your family groups. And you can join a family group if you have not already done so. Okay, with that said, let's throw some energy right now into loving the people who are worshiping with us. Let's take a minute to join our Zoom room if you're not already there, and smile and greet those who are worshiping alongside of you. And perhaps if you think of someone you haven't seen in a while, text them right now or chat them over Zoom, and I'll see you back in a minute. Okay, so we've been talking about the Jesus mission that we've been given. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing. God is a missional God. He's on a mission to help his creation find their way back to him. And that's why the Father sent the Son, why the Son sent the Spirit, and why the Spirit of God sends us. So that ultimately God's good and perfect will be done on earth just as it's done in heaven. That redemption and reconciliation would happen. That's our mission. And God has a particular strategy to accomplish this mission. It's called a blessing strategy. And this blessing strategy is put into practice through the acronym BLESS. Okay, each letter stands for one of five core missional practices. My ask is that you would try to do one of these every day. And then when you come together, you know, over Zoom or in your micro congregations or in family group or just meeting up with a friend, you ask, who did you bless this week? Let's quickly review what each of the letters stand for. B, begin with prayer, okay? Ask God each day, how do you want me to bless the world today? L, listen with care. This means listening to the people and places that God sends you to. Listen to what people are going through and need. E is for eat together. Share meals and hospitality and create strong relational connections with others. Now, just to clarify, I want you to do this wisely. Last week, I was not encouraging you to dismiss COVID concerns, but to find creative and safe ways to act upon your concern for your neighbor, okay? And then today's letter is S, and it stands for serve in love or serve with compassion, okay? If you'll turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, verse 30, we're going to read from there until verse 44. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them and ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we want to be a people on mission, on your mission, but it's incredibly challenging these days as the need and the brokenness around us seems so far beyond our capacity, our wisdom, our resources. Teach us today to serve with your compassion, your wisdom, your power. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to point out 3 things about serving like Jesus from this passage. First, Jesus served holistically. He met the crowd's spiritual needs as well as their physical needs. Second, he served with compassion. And in order to serve like Jesus, we need to move from concern to compassion. Okay? And third, Jesus had a strategy. His strategy included the divine and the mundane. His strategy was to start small and let God make it big. Let's look at all these 3 points. First, Jesus served holistically. The passage begins with the disciples returning from being sent out by Jesus. Mark 6:12-13 says, "So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." In verse 30, they've just returned, and they're telling Jesus about all that they did, but a crowd spots them, and instead of being able to rest, refresh, debrief, Jesus and the disciples find that their ministry is being sought after. And Jesus sees this. He orders them to take their boat to go to a desolate place, but the crowd follows. In fact, they run ahead to where they think Jesus is headed, and by the time the disciples arrive, a great crowd is waiting for them. Jesus is filled with compassion. And despite he and the disciples being tired and weary, he serves the crowd. Now, what does this crowd need? Well, Jesus knows that they need teaching. They need healing. They need deliverance. He gives them spiritual food. But then, of course, he gives them physical food as well. And our service, likewise, has to be with both word and works. I hope you see that. When we serve, we need to serve both the spirit and the flesh. We offer good words, words that will point people to Jesus, but also good works that will allow for human flourishing. When the church focuses only on one, then it starts to get misaligned with the holistic serving of Jesus. Words without works lose their credibility. Works without words will lead to the church possibly being praised, but it won't point to Jesus, the one who's actually bringing true salvation. So as a church, we want to do both. We want to share the good news of Jesus and minister or serve, that's another word for minister, the spirit and hearts of our neighbors. And we're going to talk more about preaching the word or sharing the word next week. But we also want to minister to, of course, to the physical needs of our neighbors as well. The Apostle James said this, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" What good is that? One of the reasons I love the Saturday outreach at the Miracle Mile near Boston Medical Center is that we're really trying to incorporate both. Good news is preached to hungry souls, and a good breakfast is served to hungry stomachs. Let's take 1 minute, actually right now, and reflect on this question. Perhaps you can share your answers or thoughts to someone next to you. What are some of the needs of the people who live in your neighborhood? I know we haven't done this previously, but let's take a break. Let's take a reflection break to just think about that question. Thank you. Now, we could take much longer and still not come up with a complete list, right? The needs are many. People who need jobs, parents whose children are in virtual school but have to work jobs at the same time during the day, children who are struggling with that kind of learning, families going hungry, people who are sick, and not just of COVID, loneliness, depression, brokenness. The list goes on, and the needs can seem overwhelming. How can we meet those needs with what little we have? But you'll notice something about Jesus, right? A large crowd appears before him, and we learn, of course, later that 5,000 men were there, but that doesn't include women or children. So perhaps this crowd was as large as 20,000 people. They have great needs. Otherwise, they wouldn't be chasing after Jesus through the wilderness. He and his disciples are hungry and tired. They don't have much in the way of physical resources. But you'll notice a word that describes Jesus. The Bible says that he had compassion. The disciples, in contrast, had concern. They say to Jesus, "Master, it's getting late. Everyone is hungry." Perhaps the disciples at this point are actually hangry, right? "We should send the crowd away so that they can get some food." Now, the disciples were concerned about the crowd, right? They knew that they didn't have the resources to feed the crowd, so they asked Jesus, rather sensibly, to send them away, okay? And that's the difference, actually, between concern and compassion. Concern sends people away in hopes that someone else will solve the problem. Compassion rolls up its sleeves and gets involved. Compassion starts making a difference. You know, many times we can be like the disciples. We're concerned about many things. We recognize the great needs. We really think that someone should do something about them. And we can get angry that someone isn't doing something meaningful about them. Meanwhile, Jesus wants to move us from human concern to godly compassion. You see, when we start to share God's compassion for the broken, the hungry, the lost, then we also start to share his power and his resources. If you're taking notes, write this down. Compassion unlocks God's miracles. So Jesus says to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." And their response is, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" Right? Translation, what they're saying is, "Jesus, you're asking the impossible," right? "We don't have the resources to do what you're asking. We don't have 200 denarii between us to feed this crowd," right? And that's the rub, isn't it, right? That's why we feel overwhelmed and undersupported. The needs are great. The resources are few. We can afford to be concerned because that makes us feel better about ourselves because that concern means we're good people, but it doesn't actually cost us our resources. Compassion, on the other hand, seems not only futile, but also foolish. But what if Jesus is asking us to have compassion? But how, you might ask? Well, first, you just pray for God's heart. Begin with prayer. Second, you listen. You listen to the stories of people. It's harder to have compassion for people that you don't know. The disciples didn't know the crowd. They had preconceived notions about the crowd, stereotypes about the kind of people who would be coming out to be ministered by them. But they didn't know them. Now, Jesus did, of course. And we can grow in our knowing by listening. Perhaps, as we talked about last week, through sharing some kind of meal. Stephen Covey, author of 7 Habits of Effective People, tells this story. One time he was on the subway in New York on a Sunday morning. People were sitting quietly. Some were reading newspapers. Some were lost in thought. Some rested with their eyes closed. And it was a calm, peaceful scene. Then suddenly a man and his children entered the subway car. The children were so loud and rambunctious that immediately the whole climate changed. And the man, the father, sat down next to Stephen Covey and closed his eyes, seemingly oblivious to his out-of-control children. And they were yelling, they were throwing things, they were grabbing other people's newspapers. Very disturbing, and yet the father did nothing. And Stephen Covey, as you imagine, was irritated. He couldn't believe the man was so insensitive as to allow his children to just run wild and not do anything, not to take any responsibility at all. And it was easy to see that everyone else on the subway car was irritated as well. And so finally, Stephen Covey turns to the man and says, with what he felt was unusual patience and restraint, "Sir, your children are really disturbing a lot of people. I wonder if you couldn't control them a little more. And the man lifted his gaze as if he was just suddenly coming to realization, consciousness of the situation for the first time. And then he said softly, "Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I guess I should do something about it. We just came from the hospital where their mother died an hour ago. I don't know what to think, and I guess they don't know how to handle it either." In that moment, everything changed for Stephen Covey. He had assumed he knew what was going on, but he had to talk to the man to learn the real situation. Now, perhaps when I just shared that story, something in your heart went, "Oh." And you see, that's the heart of Jesus. He looks upon brokenness and doesn't judge or pull back, but he says, "Father, let your will be done. Let your light shine. Let your blessings come." I just want us to pause for another minute and ask this question. What are the objections we have to feeding the crowds around us? And how might we gain God's compassion? Please feel free to share your thoughts with those around you. Jesus says to them, to his disciples, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now, Jesus shows his strategy, okay? And let me summarize it this way. First, he starts with what they have, okay? They have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, okay? Likely the small pickled variety. And, we can do the same. We can start with what we have. We can bring what we have and allow Jesus to multiply it. Now, we may start small, but remember, that's the nature of the kingdom. The kingdom is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seed, which grows into the largest of trees, right? Second, he commands his disciples to divide up the crowd into groups of 50 to 100. Now, why does Jesus do this? Well, I think he wants to make sure that everyone is fed. Notice that Jesus told the disciples to have them sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties, which is really interesting to me, right? Because we can assume these people were hungry and exhausted. Many of them might be irritated, hangry, at this point, having been in the sun all day. I don't think they were willing to be sorted at all, much less into such defined groups. But for some reason, Jesus thought it was important to charge the disciples with this tedious task of getting the big mob to split into smaller groups, okay? They weren't trained in crowd control, so I can imagine them going into the crowd and, really being awkward about this. "Excuse me, would you mind forming into groups, right? And I can imagine pushback, right? What's this about? Why do we have to do this? And how are the disciples going to answer? Well, I think we're going to feed you. Right? And can you imagine the response? Really? How much food do you have? And can you imagine them trying to answer that one? Perhaps you can feel the tension of the moment. Remember, they wanted to send the people away. It was Jesus who wanted to keep them and break them into groups. Now, perhaps he was doing so to create anticipation, or more strategically, to create a framework where they could monitor whether everyone, in fact, had been fed. You can see the soft-hearted John. "Excuse me, would you please come into groups? I'm so sorry for the inconvenience. More or less 50, if you don't mind." "Yes, thank you." Right? And then maybe Peter out there, "Right, into groups. 50, hundreds. You heard me. Move, move, move. Oi, where do you think you're going?" Right? Now, sometimes Christians think spirituality and planning don't go together, that what you need to do is just start doing stuff and God will lead you along the way. That's to misunderstand the nature of this partnership. We're to use our brains as well. When God gives us a vision, you want to join him in figuring out how it's going to get accomplished. Now, here's the good news. You don't need to have the master plan. The disciples certainly didn't know what the master plan was, but they knew there was a plan. They trusted in Jesus. And then third, Jesus starts breaking the pieces. Now, what's really fascinating is that Jesus doesn't build a stockpile of bread and fish behind him so that the disciples know that the resources will meet the need. Instead, he breaks the bread and fish and gives it to the disciples and tells them to feed the people. And can you imagine the disciples' reaction? You have to remember that they've built the crowd's anticipation, right? They've divided the crowd into groups. They've told them to sit down. Now the crowd is waiting. They are expecting to be fed. We often say, what difference can I make? God challenges us. Just start breaking the pieces. Take small steps. You can just imagine the disciples taking this bread and this fish to the first of these groups and, you know, looks around, looks and sees the whole group, and then he just, you know, he's got a little piece of bread, a little piece of fish, and he's got a lot of people to feed, so he breaks a little bit off and gives it to the first person. And the person looks at it and goes, you really had us sit down in groups of 50 and 100 for this? You know, and the disciple kind of just shrugs and is like, I'm just following Jesus, right? And then goes to the next person and gives him a little piece, right? And then goes to the next person. But then it starts to realize that the bread and the fish aren't getting smaller. And you imagine later on, he's just like, you know, tearing off huge chunks of bread and pieces of fish and handing them out until everyone is satisfied. You know, how do you follow Jesus? Take a small step of obedience. And then just another, and then another, right? You take enough small steps led by God's compassion, and we will see a miracle of God. You know, in the end, everyone is fed. 5,000 men, not including the women and children, right? 20,000 people, possibly, all fed until they're full and satisfied. 12 baskets of bread are left over. That's a lot of food, right? Why did they collect the food? Was it to show how amazing the miracle was, perhaps? Or maybe more practically, they were saving it so other people could meet. Maybe there's symbolism in the 12 that God can provide for all of the 12 tribes of Israel. But you know, here's one takeaway. When God works and his compassion is at hand, there's always a surplus, right? We can give out of the meagerness of our resources, but you can never outgive God. You know, brothers, sisters, the brokenness of this world is going to seem overwhelming. It is overwhelming. But we're called to serve with God's compassion and his love. You know, our serving may seem small and ineffectual, but God can multiply. Jesus showed us how he served. The Son of Man came to serve, not be served, he said. He went to the cross, one man seeking to pay for the sins of the whole world, like trying to feed the multitudes with a few pieces of bread and fish. But Jesus embodied God's compassion. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs you have on your head right now. He knows the depths of your brokenness. And on your worst day, he still says, I love you. Come to me. I'll give you shalom. I will bless you. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, Lord, for your compassion upon us. Lord, and we want to come to you and be filled with that compassion. Lord, we see in the example of Jesus, we see in the life of Jesus, what small steps of obedience can do when we trust in you and we're just walking, Lord, as you and doing as you have commanded. Lord, we want to be a people, God, who aren't weighing the needs and comparing them to our resources, our strategies, our plans. Lord, we know we have to do that in our work, in our businesses, and so on and so forth. We want to make sure we have enough time to do the projects and the tasks, so on and so forth. But Lord, let there be a layer, a meaningful layer, God, in all that we do, where we're actually trusting in you, that we're serving, God, not because we know that our service is going to make the difference that is going to fill up the whole gap. But Lord, that we would serve in obedience to you, knowing, God, that you can multiply. That you can multiply it. And so right now, we just lift up, Lord, our resources to you. We lift up our gifts and talents to you. We lift up our time to you, our energy to you. God, and we say, Lord, however you want to use us to address all of the needs and the brokenness and the pain of those around us, Lord, won't you point the way with your compassion? Lord, I pray for family group servants and microchurch leaders who are wondering if the little energy and the little knowledge and the little time they have, if it's going to be enough. I pray for those who are serving in our education ministry and in our partnership with the Jackson Man, and wondering if they have enough to bring to the table, if they're 1 or 2 hours a week that they're going to spend with children, with students at Jackson Man will make a difference. I pray, Lord, just for our own hearts, for our micro congregations who are wondering that if this strategy is really going to work. Lord, speak to us. Fill us with your compassion. Help us to pray for those around us. Help us to listen, God, to their needs and their wants and their hopes, and listen to you so that we would really know what it is they need, that we could minister in a holistic way. Lord, help us to open up our lives in such a way that we're really engaging with people, Lord, who are around us, that we're not allowing our circumstances to shield us or excuse us from moving in your compassion. Lord, help us to serve. Help us to serve as you served us. Can we just go before the Lord? And again, we want to begin with prayer, so let's pray. Let's pray that God would give us his compassion. Let's pray that we would see what it is that God desires to do around us. Let's pray that whatever we bring to the table, that we would know that if God asks for it, it's going to be enough. Let's go before the Lord together. Let's pray. We're going to go into a time of offering, and at Symphony, as you know, for those of you who've been coming out, we believe the best offering we can bring is an offering of obedience, an offering of our hearts. And so if you could go to the connection card form, and if there's anything the Lord is asking you to do, a next step, a small step of obedience, can you write that down in the connection card? I want to suggest 2 possible applications of the message today. One is for all of us. Would you be willing this week to take a walk in your neighborhood and just begin to pray? that you would go for a prayer walk in your neighborhood, and as you look at every house, that you would pray, or every apartment building, over every store, that you would just pray for God's blessing. That you would pray that the kingdom would come, that hearts would be healed, that sickness would be banished, that marital strife would find reconciliation, that people would know Jesus, that students would be able to learn, people would be able to find jobs, that businesses would flourish. But let's start with prayer. This week, can you go for a walk in your neighborhood? Maybe go with your roommate, go with your spouse, but go for a walk and just pray God's blessings down. We can serve beginning with prayer. The other application may not be for all of us, but I do want to invite some of you right now, those of you who've never experienced the compassion of God, the compassion of Jesus. Maybe you see him as a strict father, someone who, a rule keeper, a God of judgment and justice. This God loves you, and he's inviting you to come into a relationship with him. And if today is, you know, you want to say yes to that, this would be a great day to enter into God's sphere of compassion and love. You can just go before him and pray and say, God, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to receive your love. I acknowledge your compassion. I want to be with you. I want my sins to be forgiven, my sin of rebelling against you, my sin of living as though you didn't exist or matter. But now I recognize that you are everything, and I want to bring my life into your sphere. I want to be used by you to send out and be part of love and grace and joy. And you can pray that, and you can enter into a relationship with God today. You can, if you want to do that, please write in the connection card that you want to make Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and we're going to be praying for you and rejoicing with you. Any financial offerings you want to bring to God at this time, if you want to go onto the part of the app that allows you to give, it would be a great time to do that as well. If you have prayer requests, please let us know how we can serve you with prayer. Please let us know how we can serve you in other ways. If there are needs that you have, and we'll reach out to you. We have a benevolence team that would love to walk with you in these challenging times. I'm just going to close for us, and then in a moment, we're going to go into our into Zoom and to pray in breakout rooms. And if you're going to stay on, you're not in a micro church right now, I encourage you to get onto your own Zoom device so that you can bring your unique prayers to the table. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you, God. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are a powerful, loving God. We thank you that you're a God of compassion. We thank you that you care about not just our spirits, you care about our flesh, you care about our souls, you care about our whole being. We thank you for that. Lord, help us to bring our whole being to you. All of what you've given to us, our blessings, Lord, may you multiply them as we seek to serve this world, as we seek to serve and love our neighbors, as we seek to serve and love those within the church, as well as those outside the church. Lord, may we point to your light in such a way that, as it says in the Sermon on the Mount, that people would see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. Lord, we want you to have all the praise and all the glory, all the honor. We bless you, God. I pray, Father, for your blessings upon my brothers and sisters, that there would be an anointing upon them, that there would be a multiplication of their serving in such a way that, Lord, small things would become big, Lord, that mustard seed-sized faith and works would turn into the greatest of trees. Lord, we're praying that over Boston. We're praying that over all of our cities. We're praying that over all the nations of the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you over in Zoom. And for those of you who are visiting and new and like to join our newcomers room at this time, please do so. And I will try to say hello to you there as well. God bless.